Please turn in your Bibles now to Luke chapter 22, verse 14, or it's right there in your bulletin on page 6. We're going to break the rules this morning, at least Dr. Chappell's rules. In seminary, I had a professor who told us when you get up to preach, you should never talk about three things: blood, bathroom, bedroom. Well, we're talking about the Lord's Supper today, so we have to talk about blood. So we're going to break the rules a little bit, and we're going to look here at Luke chapter 22, verses 14 and following, at when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper or communion. Please follow along as I read now from God's Word. "And when the hour came, he, Jesus, reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed.' And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this." Let us pray. Father, these are your words. Please teach us and lead us to your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. Communion. First of all, before we look at some of the specifics about this passage, what is communion? Quick definition. It's a practice that Jesus instituted here at this night, at this meal, that is then to be continued by Christians throughout history on a regular basis. It involves bread and wine as the body and blood of Christ received by faith. The bread doesn't become Jesus' body. The wine doesn't become his blood. But as we receive those elements by faith, we receive Jesus himself by his Holy Spirit. That's a quick and easy definition of communion before we get into some of the details in this text. Now, in the early church, when Christians were taking communion and talking about their faith, talking about how they participated in the blood and body of their God and Savior Jesus Christ, who had actually come into this world as an infant at one point, people outside of the church were a bit confused and misconstrued what Christians were actually doing. There was a story going around in that first century, those early centuries of the church, that what Christians did when they got together was they took an infant, put that infant inside of a loaf of bread, cut the bread in half, and then gave it to the new believer, while the rest of them then participated on it as well. So Christians were viewed as cannibals, almost like vampires. It was a severe misunderstanding, obviously, of what Jesus really instituted. So, misunderstanding outside of the church. But I think that as we've come to this present time, sometimes there's also misunderstanding within the church about what exactly we do when we participate in this meal. And so we want to address those things. There's so much that could be said about the Lord's Supper. We're just going to focus in on a few of them here. And what we're going to see is that the Lord's Supper, it clarifies the good news about Jesus. This meal helps to really clarify the good news in three ways. You can see in your bulletin there, in three different ways it really helps to clarify the good news. First, that the good news is community building. Second, that the good news is also creation honoring. And thirdly, that the good news is Christ communicating. All of that is clarified in this meal of the Lord's Supper. So let's look at that first point, that is community building, that the good news is clarified in communion, that it is community building. We'll just look right at verse 14. And when the hour came, the hour for this meal, Jesus reclined at table. Notice, this is a different culture than ours. He didn't sit down at table. He actually reclined. We talked about this a few weeks ago, where at that point in time, there'd be a U-shaped table. The head of the table would sit at the bottom. You'd recline, not sit, and you would use your other hand to dip, and everybody would be looking at each other across the table. So Jesus reclines at the table with the apostles. He reclines at the table and the apostles with him. Who are the apostles? Well, the apostles are a group of 12 men from out of the greater number of disciples that were following Jesus. These men were chosen by Jesus as a picture of a renewed people of God, like the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus is choosing 12 men who are to follow the Messiah and who are being specially commissioned to take this message out to all nations. And he gathers them on this day as he is about to die, and he gathers them around a table. He is forming a community here, a representative community, for what the rest of his community that he's building will be like. So what are these apostles like? Were they all the same? They were all Jewish men, right? No, they were all Jewish men, but there were some really big distinctions among them. For example, among the apostles, we had people on two ends of the political spectrum. On one end, you had Matthew, the tax collector, working for the Romans at one point before Jesus called him to be a part of his people. Then on the other hand, you have Simon, the Canaanian. You can turn, if you'd like, to follow along with who the disciples were. The apostles here in Luke chapter 6. But Simon the Canaanian, so you've got Matthew the tax collector working for Rome, all about the Roman government. Simon the Canaanian, or the zealot. Zealots at that time were people who were prepared to get violent to take the Roman government down. Jesus brings both of these people into this community of the 12 apostles. So the political spectrum is broad at this table. But what about economically? Well, you've got Peter, the fisherman, sitting at the same table as a tax collector, a guy who would be skimming off the top, a bit more wealthy in a different social and economic class than Peter. But Jesus brings them to the same table. And then thirdly, you've got Peter and Andrew, brothers. And you've got James and John, sons of Zebedee, brothers. But those are the only family connections at the table. Everybody else is from different families, different backgrounds. So Jesus, in this group that he brings to sit around this table at the Lord's Supper, what we have clarified in communion is that it's a communion of various kinds of people. We're not a homogenous group. We never have been. Since the very beginning, the 12 apostles, politically, economically, socially, familially, all different, and yet centering around this table where Jesus is to feed us his body and his blood. And so it's easy to define ourselves as believers, first by family, or first by political association, or first by economic bracket. It's easy to want to associate with those who are like us. But we have to see that the church is less about, I guess, the nuclear family, but primarily about that extended family, extending through all the world, believers of every political shade and economic strata. We are a varying people, and we have to see that when we come around this table, it should be clarified that we are a varied people throughout the world. A community has been formed by Jesus, but also clarified in communion isn't just that we are a community formed by him of various kinds of people, but also that in the good news, creation is honored. Creation is crowned in the good news. What do I mean by that? Well, let's look back at the text. In verse 15, what does Jesus earnestly desire to do? To eat. In verse 16, I tell you, I will not eat it. In verse 17, Jesus takes a cup filled with wine. In verse 18, Jesus won't drink the fruit of the vine. In verse 19, Jesus takes bread, right? In verse 20, likewise the cup after they had eaten. And finally, in verse 20, this cup that is poured out. Do you see? Do you see all of the creaturely, basic, physical aspects that are brought out in this supper for us on a regular basis? Eating, drinking, our esophagus, our stomach, our hands, a table, bread, wine, cups. This is a very creaturely activity that Jesus has called us to be engaged in on a regular basis. But it's so easy to make the faith about something that happens only right here. When we abstract Jesus and we abstract his work, but when we're brought back to the table, we're reminded that Jesus is honoring creation. That we are creatures and all of who we are is involved in what Jesus is trying to do. I think when I think of this issue with kind of making Christianity and Jesus about thinking and about propositions and just the mind, very cognitive. When I think about that problem, I think of that statue by Rodin, the man who is sitting there very pensively with his legs crossed and his arm on his knee and his fist under his chin, and he's just thinking. And it seems that sometimes we see that as the height of Christian discipleship, an individual alone in deep thought. Now, not to say that thought isn't involved. Love the Lord God with all your mind, your soul and your strength and so on. But it's not the mind alone. So when you think of that statue, notice how communion clarifies that Rodin should have other statues around him. And they should have a fork in their hand with some barbecue on it. And another one should have a cup of wine in his hand. Another one over there has his mouth full. He's chewing something. And another guy has out the scriptures and he's talking about it with them. That's what this meal clarifies for us about the gospel. That these very physical things, bread, wine, hands, stomachs, mouths, the way we play, the way we exercise, our friendships, our work, our backyards, all of this is about what Jesus is about, and that is clarified when we come to this table at communion. It's not just community forming, it's not just creation honoring, but most fundamentally, most importantly, this meal clarifies for us that the good news is Christ communicating. Again, coming back to the Bible, Jesus says in verse 19, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." These words are striking. Jesus is telling his disciples that when you eat this bread, when you drink this wine, you are partaking of me. I am communicating myself to you. Does this make you uncomfortable? It makes me a little uncomfortable. It's very close, Very personal. But first, just a note of what's going on. Again, I mentioned earlier, when we take these elements here, are we actually taking the flesh of Jesus and the blood of Jesus? Those in our tradition would say no. It is not transformed from bread and wine into the actual body and blood of Jesus. But neither is it simply a memorial, like fireworks that go off in the sky, remembering something that happened so long ago. No, Jesus our Lord is seated at the right hand of God in heaven, in his body, resurrected from the grave. He is in heaven. He is not here. So how then can we get his body and his blood? It is by the miracle of the Holy Spirit. As we come to this table by faith, the Holy Spirit feeds us the body and the blood of Jesus spiritually. But again, it's so personal. The blood and the flesh. I remember as a kid, I had a next door neighbor, Robbie, over in Dale City. My mom didn't always let me play with him. He had machetes and toys like that, which I thought were cool, and I wanted to play with him. But one day he came, he showed up on my back deck, and we were talking, and he said, "Hey, do you want to become blood brothers?" And I was a little bit younger than him, so I was like, "Yeah." And inside, I didn't know what that all meant. So he said, "Okay, well, this is how you do it. We both have to cut open our fingers, and you have to squeeze it so you get the blood out, and then we are going to put our thumbs together, and we're going to walk in a circle 3 times, and we just have to keep saying, 'Blood brothers, blood brothers, blood brothers,' over and over again." And so I was like, you know, cool. But inside, I really didn't want to do this. And so I did it, and then he had to leave, and then I ran back inside. I was like 6 years old or something. I ran back inside, I went on my bed, and I started crying. My older brother, he's 10 years older than me, he comes in, he says, "What are you crying about?" I said, "Well, Robbie and me, we just did this thing. We became blood brothers, and I think I'm going to have his blood in my body for the rest of my life." And that made me so uncomfortable because I really didn't know him that well. I didn't want to be that close to him forever. And he told me, he said, "Tim, don't worry about it. You know, the blood gets in your system, and it works out in a few hours." He had absolutely no basis for saying that, probably. But it definitely helped, and I felt better about it to this day. But with Jesus, we have to see that he doesn't just want to get in our hearts. He wants to get in our bloodstream. Jesus wants to get into our very blood. We become one with him. In communion, it's clarified that Jesus communicates himself to us, his very life. And so we shouldn't just see, again, coming back to that same point, Christianity is something that's about propositions, words on paper, ideas, books. Fundamentally, as we come to this table again and again, it is about Jesus Christ being fed by him. Jesus getting very close to you, very personal, getting into your own bloodstream. So, the Lord's Supper is a magnificent, magnificent practice of the church. And it's not only us who need, as God's people, to be corrected in our thinking about what's really going on. There's also an element where those outside the church are longing for the sorts of things that God is doing at this table every day of their lives. I think about the series that was popular recently, Twilight. First it was a book series, then it was a movie. To understand how popular it was written by a young girl, I think a teenager, four girls in her age group. And when we were in St. Louis, every girl in her 20s and 30s had read the whole series. And actually a couple guys I knew. Then it was made into a movie series. Well, what happens in Twilight? What is it that people all over this nation are interested in about Twilight? I mean, a girl falls in love with a vampire. she has this strange desire to actually be bitten by him and become one herself, for him to partake of her blood. It's sort of a strange thing where there'd be this desire to have someone take, against your own will, blood from you. But there's this desire, this need to be known, to be that close to have that sort of personal relationship with someone. And in that same story is involved blood. Blood is so personal, so near. But in Jesus, it's not someone against our will taking blood from us. But what we offer to those outside the church is a Savior who, according to his will, gives his blood for us. And again, seeing that Jesus, by his own will, wants to give his blood to us, his life for us, we are reminded at this table, as we receive, that fundamentally it's not about moralism. Don't leave today coming to this table thinking that it's about what you come to give Jesus, that he longs to bite your neck and all of that weird stuff about vampires. It's not associated. You come to this table to receive from Jesus what he can give to you. Christianity is not so much about being a good person, but it's about Jesus Christ and receiving from him all that he has to give, which will fundamentally transform us. Praise God for this great supper. Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for the way that you honor us as a community, and you honor creation that you have made, and that you communicate your very Son to us by your Holy Spirit. Father, now we pray that you would help us to engage this meal by faith as we partake in your Son's name.